Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Hello, and welcome back. I'm Father Edward Looney. I'm a Catholic priest of the Diocese of Green Bay, Wisconsin. I'm an author, a podcaster, and a Marian theologian, at present, the president of the Mariological Society of America. And this is the Commentaries series on the Glories of Mary by St. Alphonsus Liguori. Today is day 21, and we'll be covering part two, the section Various Practices of Devotion in Honor of the Divine Mother. Before we jump into the treasures found in this wonderful work, let us begin with a short prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. O Lord our God, you gave us Mary to be our mother when you entrusted her to the care of Saint John. For now we are Saint John in the world. We are called to live in imitation of you, Jesus. And so, we know to imitate you, we must love your mother because you loved her. Help us to know how to love her. Show us the ways in which we can be devoted to her, that we can call upon her intercession, that we can express our love and devotion to her. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Today, as we break down and discuss the various practices of devotion in honor of the Divine Mother, perhaps first just important to look at devotion to Our Lady in general. Why be devoted to Our Lady? It's a very popular question, one that I often answer, and you might have caught it in the opening prayer. What I often will tell people, we are devoted to Our Lady because her son Jesus was devoted to her. And St. Paul tells us, be imitators of Christ. When I think of Jesus, when I walk the stations of the cross and I see Our Lady meeting Jesus along the way, as I see her receiving the dead body of Jesus in her arms, I see her love for her son. And I see her son's love for her, especially in that fourth station. I love Our Lady because Jesus loved her. I love Our Lady because I realize she loves me. So it's this reciprocal love. The Blessed Virgin loving me and I loving Mary in return. I also tell people, why do we have devotion to Our Lady? Well, we have devotion to Our Lady because, as one of my favorite Marian songs says, Stainless the Maiden, the English translation, it says, every saint has praised her. Well, we know that to be true. We have read the glories of Mary. We have heard the sayings of the saints. Every saint has praised her. Yes, it seems like they have. They have a quote. They have a reason why they love Our Lady. So, we love her because it's really a part of our tradition. The saints loved her. Every saint has praised her. We can read their writings. We know that St. Alphonsus Liguori loved her. And if they loved her, well, I should love her. I want to love what the saints loved. I think another reason why we have devotion to Our Lady, because it works. Isn't that the case? We've heard all of these stories, and in the next section of the Glories of Mary, he will relate to us other stories. So I don't have a commentary on this, but in part the third, various additional examples appertaining to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary. He goes through and he lists all of these ways that people have had devotion to Our Lady. He gives us 89 different little stories and examples. It's those stories, it's those examples, it's how he ends each little chapter with a little story summarizing his point. We're devoted to Our Lady because we know it works. Because people have called upon her intercession and they have received what it is that they have prayed for. People have united in prayer to Our Lady and they have received graces. We have feasts in the church for this very reason. So we have devotion to Our Lady because it works. I find it interesting, you know, a common critique of a Protestant believer would be, Mary is dead, she can't hear you, she doesn't pray for you. Well, that's not true. You're wrong. In the Transfiguration, Jesus is talking to Moses and Elijah. These people preceded him in death. They've been gone from the earth, but yet Jesus is speaking to them. They are alive in God. And that was before the gates of heaven were open. That was as they were in the place of waiting in Sheol. So Our Lady, she does intercede. It works. We've seen how people have called upon her intercession and they've received a grace. She does listen. She does go to her son with our requests. So in this section on devotion to Our Lady, St. Alphonsus Liguori goes through different devotions to Our Lady. Now, you could probably just pause for a moment and maybe even catalog your own devotion to Our Lady. I pray the rosary every day. I have an image of Mary throughout my house. Wear a scapular, a miraculous medal. Like, you could probably name several different devotions to Our Lady that you partake in already. But I think the beauty here is that I saw as I listened to this, as I read this, that there's a simplicity too in our devotion to Our Lady. One Hail Mary. Do not abandon it, persevering in devotion to Our Lady, according to Thomas a Kempis. The recommendation to say three Hail Marys before rising and at bedtime. To say the Angelus, because it has three Hail Marys in it. To maybe kneel when you pray the Angelus, that was his recommendation, rather than to stand. That we could have recourse to the Hail Mary all throughout the day, he says. That when the clock strikes and we hear it, we can pray a Hail Mary, asking Our Lady's intercession every time that we pass by an image of Our Lady. That's something I do. When I visit a church and they have a statue of Our Lady, I'll pray a Hail Mary before that statue. A simple devotion. To begin and end our actions with a Hail Mary. Maybe as I began this podcast, I should have prayed a Hail Mary. We'll end with one. How about that? To pray a novena, so we know the different feast days of Our Lady, St. Alphonsus Liguori gives us these beautiful reflections for her feast days. And St. Alphonsus also gives us some novena prayers and meditations that we can offer. And so to pray a novena, 9 days of dedicated prayer. Novena is popularly prayed when you have an intention that you wish to pray for ardently. To have recourse to the novena prayers. What's your favorite feast day of Our Lady? I wrote my STL, my license thesis in theology, on the Assumption of Mary. It's my favorite mystery of the Rosary. It's my favorite feast day of Our Lady. So it would be fitting for me to pray 9 days before the Feast of the Assumption, meditating on Our Lady's life, asking her prayers of intercession and such, to identify those Marian feast days important to us, to pray novena. Can find many novenas online. The Rosary, it's a very beautiful devotion. He gives, again, great insights into the Rosary all throughout the glories of Mary. There are other devotions like the Little Office of Our Lady or the Litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary. To pray some of the prayers of Our Lady, like Hail Star of the Sea, the Ave Maris Stella. St. Bridget was told to pray that prayer every day by Our Lady. St. Alphonsus addressed a devotion of fasting, that Saturday is dedicated to Our Lady because she remained constant in the faith and the day after the death of her son. So on Saturday, we should have some active devotion to Our Lady, receiving Holy Communion, maybe fasting with Our Lady as well. To visit images of Our Lady in the churches, in a chapel, in our own home. When I went to England, and I was in Westminster Abbey, it was quite profound, you know, walking through Westminster Abbey, just kind of really awestruck or dumbfounded, maybe. I was taken aback, really, by kind of how it was a museum more than a house of prayer. But when I got to the Lady Chapel, where there was this image of Our Lady and the child Jesus, and he was holding some cherries in his hands, I immediately was moved to pray. I actually stood there and prayed a rosary. It was a place where I was drawn into conversation with Our Lady. I was visiting this image of Our Lady for the first time. St. Francis de Sales, he used to go to his parish church as a young boy. He had crippling anxiety, and he prayed before an image of Our Lady, and Our Lady delivered him. As he prayed in front of that image, she interceded and obtained the grace of healing for him. To visit a statue of Our Lady, there was a gentleman who, in one of my former parishes that I served, he was a visitor, a passerby. He would be driving by, you know, to go to Northern Door County. That's where I was serving. And so I was in Southern Door County. But he would always stop at our church, and he would always pray in front of the statue of the Blessed Mother in our church. He was so touched, so moved by that image. I remember one time being in Belgium in a church. It was a basilica shrine. I was the only person in the church, but here comes this elderly gentleman with his cane clip-clopping on the floor. And he goes to Our Lady, makes a sign on the cross, prays a Hail Mary, and walks out of the church. And I wondered in that moment, does that man come every single day and do that? Is he in a moment of need? Was this a special day of remembrance for him, and so he's having recourse to Our Lady? So to visit an image of Our Lady in our church, our parish, a shrine, He spoke about the scapular of Our Lady, wearing the scapular. There are different scapulars in addition to the brown scapular. Brown scapular, Our Lady of Mount Carmel being the most popular one, but there's the black scapular and the blue scapular and the white scapular, all these different scapulars. And so the scapular is really us being clothed in the mantle of Our Lady, us being clothed in her protection. It shows that we are dedicated members of the household of the Mother of God. He says that we could join confraternities of our Blessed Mother. Now, confraternities aren't as popular these days, but there is a confraternity of the Holy Rosary, and it has seen resurgence in the last few years, greater attention being given to it, but there's spiritual benefits associated with being a member of a confraternity, of giving alms in honor of Our Lady, that we should have frequent recourse to her and to fly to her intercession. St. Alphonsus Liguori said, "It is better to have a little devotion to Mary than to have no devotion at all." Sometimes people write to me through social media. They share with me, you know, about a book I wrote or something like that. And just recently I was corresponding with a woman and she said, "I'm not Catholic anymore." So she was. She's a Presbyterian now. But she wrote me and she told me, "I'm reading your book about Our Lady in Lent, a Lenten journey with Mother Mary. And I love it so much." And she told me, "I'm no longer a Catholic, I'm a Presbyterian, but I still pray my rosary every day." And she said, "You can't take the Catholic out of me." A part of me wondered, well, why not come back to the church, receive the sacraments, be involved in this church that you're baptized into? It's the church that Our Lady and her apparitions directs us to go to Mass and confession and such. But there was a realization there that it was a part of her and she wasn't letting go of it. When she does eventually come back to the church, it will be because of Our Lady, that Our Lady brought her back. We are to have devotion to Our Lady. That devotion will look different for each and every person. That's why I wrote a book called How They Love Mary. It chronicles 28 different individuals, so little profiles, saints, and hopefully someday saints, holy men and women, their devotion to Our Lady. My aim in writing the book was to communicate that devotion to Our Lady can look different. It's not a cookie cutter. I would tell you, yes, you need to pray the rosary every day. Our Lady of Fatima told us to. But that you can take on different devotions to Our Lady. You can have recourse to her in so many different ways. What's important is that you are devoted to her, that you do call upon her intercession. As we come to a close on this 21st day of the Commentaries series, let's end our work with a Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And that brings us to the end of day 21 in our study of the glories of Mary. Thank you so much for listening and for joining me on your journey to grow deeper in your spiritual life. Next time, we'll be wrapping up the commentaries with some final thoughts and takeaways. And so I would encourage you to kind of look through and read the rest of the glories of Mary in anticipation of that. to really read the third part then of the Glories of Mary, in which different reflections and examples and such are given by Saint Alphonsus Liguori. Until then, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by TAN. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support The Commentaries and other great free content from TAN, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including The Glories of Mary and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.